hold on to your butts. It's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die. Lethal effects may take up to 75 years. It's episode 141 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave, and with me as always is Aiden Morgan.
Hey!
I don't know. I got nothing. It is kind of that time of the year where most shows that start their fall season and now take their weird mid-season break, because that's a thing now.
Yep.
Are wrapping up for the summer.
Right.
And of course, mid-season shows are starting up and kind of halfway through things.
Yeah, we're three episodes into Zombie, I think.
Yeah.
So, for example, I haven't seen the third episode, but anyway.
It's a good episode, actually.
That's what I heard.
It was very, very well done. But so of course the big one for us is all the weird CW news going on. So Arrow and Flash ended their season. Supergirl does that, and Legends do that like this week. But so Arrow and Flash, huh?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I watched the Arrow season finale on your suggestion, and I just watched the Flash season finale. And when you have not been watching the seasons beyond the first few episodes of each, well, yeah, there's a bit of catch-up you have to do in your head.
Yes.
So when I watch The Flash, I'm like, oh, I guess Cicada is not a thing. Oh, I guess there's another Cicada, and it's a little girl, but also an angry adult. She seems to have a bit of a dagger in her head. And what the fuck is the Reverse Flash doing back on the show?
Yeah, no, the season actually is actually a good season. Jumping into the finale on that is a mistake.
Yeah, I mean,
can figure it out.
I have to say, I thought it was a really solid finale, because it just. I could tell. You barely even needed the previous leads to be able to sort of get the broad strokes of how the season went. And sort of ending with the revelation that Crisis is no longer 5 years in the future, but, you know, less than a year away. That's a thing.
Yeah. I also do like the, as much as I like the character, the excess removal and just Nora's removal worked for me just because... You know, like in the comics, like again, like their kid isn't Nora, right?
Right.
So we remove her. It's like, well, now maybe next time, if we ever do that, like we'll get the tornado to it. Like it opens that door back up for like their comic based kids, which lets us get to Bart eventually.
Right. So let's see how next season goes. I don't know how many more seasons The Flash has in it right now. So I know they've got another one, but
yeah, I mean, my guess is, like, I can't... Next season can't be it.
No.
But I could see it stopping at 7, because many shows do.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, it'll do Crisis next year, and then have fallout from Crisis after it, like, in the last half of the season. Mm-hmm. And then maybe one more season, right? Yeah. Like, it starts to call into question a lot of the CW stuff, if, especially once you add in the Netflix thing, that CW has officially decided to not renew their deal.
Oh.
So, stuff for this season will all go up. Next season, it will be, like, on a per-show basis. There's no overarching deal. Because everyone's pretty sure that, like, Warner's going to launch their thing, and that they're not going to fold... They're going to do what Disney's doing. They're not going to fold the DC service in. But, like, with the Disney Plus thing, they also are going to have, like, ESPN Plus, and, of course, they now control Hulu.
Yeah.
And so they've already announced, like, they're going to offer package deals. So, you know, you get everything cheaper than you would if you did separately, and this way you just have different channels, basically.
Why are we just getting cable all over again? I would love to know.
Because that's the thing. It's like, no, the final stage of this will actually be, like, in about 5 years, I'm guessing, when they start to all merge.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
And then they go into, like, local control, and then we just really do reinvent cable.
Yeah.
But no, for now, like, I kind of get Disney's concept here of, like, they're using Hulu for their more adult shows, and the Disney Plus service for their, like, kind of all ages. You know, like Ghost Rider and Hellstrom will be on Hulu. But like Bucky and Falcon will be on Disney Plus.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know? They want to kind of make Disney Plus is where they're going to put all their Disney movies and all the Pixar shit, and they want to make sure that, you know, like kids, like parents feel good about this or whatever.
Right.
So I fully expect Warner doing their own streaming service as well, that they will just have the DC service as an add-on, only because, not because the content is an issue, but because the DC service has all the comic reader stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically like a DC Unlimited, like the Marvel Unlimited comic service.
Yeah.
That they kind of want to, they don't want to fold that into Warner.
Gotcha.
So if they keep it separate for like, you know, another like $2 or $3 a month if you get the Warner service. But everyone expects like, you know, Batwoman's first season to end up on whatever form of that. And all of the DC shows, like the stuff that's on Netflix will continue to be on Netflix.
Right, but then...
Like they're not going to remove the stuff right now.
Yeah. Huh.
But new stuff and the old stuff will show up somewhere else. And it's not a bad mistake, but I think it is going to hurt their viewership, right? Because people who have Netflix aren't going to be like, but I missed The Flash, necessarily.
Probably not.
Like a subset, sure, but there are a lot of people who...
I feel like people are just kind of locked into Netflix now, like regardless of whether it has your favorite show or not at any given
right.
moment. People aren't going to say, I'm canceling Netflix. They'll just be like, oh, there'll be something else.
I think you'll start to see that change when Warner pulls all... Because like, they're going to pull things like Friends, which is apparently the most viewed TV
Jesus.
Show on Netflix.
Yeah, that's going to hurt.
And with Disney pulling all of its movies soon...
Yeah.
Like, you're going to start to see that Netflix ship kind of drop a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, that's that five-year plan, right?
Right.
For just reinvent cable.
And I got Criterion Channel because I knew that Netflix was never going to give me the thing that I kind of wanted from it years ago, which was to give me like a really wide range of classic and art house cinema.
Right. That's the thing. It's like that, yeah, Netflix is all like modern stuff and cheap knockoff stuff.
Yeah.
They never built out a really great film library, and it's a huge mistake.
I know, and for a while they seemed to be heading in that direction, or that was kind of a promise. They had all these sort of...
Yeah.
You could actually, you know, there was a category of, like, classic films and cult cinema, and it just never seemed
I think,
to... Yeah.
I really do, like, personally just bet that they thought that stuff would be cheap, because they're like, oh, no one cares. And then they realized it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
And they're like, how many people really will view it overall? And, you know, there you go.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, so the CW stuff is changing around stuff, of course. Arrow's last season. So, the Arrow finale.
Yes.
Sorry, we do need to...
Okay, now this...
Because, I mean...
I found this fascinating because the only thing I'd seen of Arrow this season was the first 4 or 5 episodes. And then I watched
okay.
the Star City 2040 episode. Just because
right.
I was curious about it. And I was like, oh, okay, so a lot of stuff is happening here. And then I watched the finale. I'm like, how confusing can it be? Well, the answer is quite confusing. Because it was essentially one long action scene. Or two action scenes that
two
were sort of like
scenes.
We like in different timelines. Like woven
well,
into
and that,
each
that's
other.
The thing, is that around that one episode that you watched, they really started to play up the here's how things are in the future and... In the present, they drop hints that some of the stuff was starting, and you're like, well, how do they stitch together? And then they
right.
kept playing that card,
yeah.
which is actually really well done. I mean, I really do like the flash forwards, and I'm glad they're supposed to be keeping them for next year.
Yeah.
For the final season.
Oh, that's cool.
And like, maybe they're like, maybe we could do a spinoff. I don't know.
Ooh.
I do expect to see a bunch of those characters in Crisis, though.
Almost certainly. I would be surprised if not. Yeah, I could have a spinoff called Star City. Or Star
right.
20, or Star City 2040, or whatever else, yeah.
You know, you could, like, cover Jefferson Starship for the theme song. We failed this city, you know, it's just... How has no one ever recorded, you know, you failed this city?
Oh my god.
As a song.
Filk music as a genre has let us down.
Yeah.
For the last time.
But, No, I after the whole plot wrap up though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the You got the domestic bliss followed by.
By what next season is gonna be,
Yeah,
basically.
I just love the monitor shows up and it's sort of like, oh yeah, have you met my Felicity? Have you met my friend, the monitor?
Right?
I'm just like, oh, you have some explaining to do, don't you?
But I really do like that apparently next season's just gonna be like Ollie in the multiverse.
Sure. Like, why the hell
I
not?
mean, why not, right?
Yeah.
Like it lets Crisis be, and we should talk about Crisis in a minute, but like, because now they've revealed some shit, but it lets Crisis not only be the 5-part thing it's gonna be, but it kind of gives it an extra 10 hours of lead in.
Yeah, that's they're basically they're going instead of having like a few hints dropped along a series and then like a big splashy crossover, it seems that they're really just turning Arrow into the Crisis show.
Right.
Yeah, which
And
great.
yeah, I only hope that they can figure out their rights issues and release like Arrow Season 7 with the Crisis crossover included.
Yeah, hopefully.
And just kind of dub it. I mean, 'cause they used to do, there are some shows on the CW that like they will do subtitles for a season.
Oh.
It hasn't, I don't think it's happened in a while. But like it's one of those things, right? Of like whatever. And they could totally do the like Arrow Season 7 is also just Crisis or Road to Crisis or whatever they want to call it.
Right, yeah.
So that could be fun.
That could be fun.
But also yeah, there's been some Crisis news. They managed to reveal this at the upfronts, which meant they did it in TV speak, which confused people for a minute. Because they're like, it's gonna be 5 hours over 2 quarters, and people are like, "What?" And just yeah, so some of it will air in December, some of it airs in January,
Sure.
and 5 hours is Batwoman, Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, Legends.
Right.
Legends is officially in it. But that does raise the question of usually they do this shit in like November-ish, and then they take their holiday break.
Oh.
I can't imagine that they're gonna like take a month off and then do the last two episodes of Crisis.
Yeah,
But if they
that's
want to do it in like
weird.
December and January, are they going to do it over Christmas and New Year's?
Don't know. Maybe
Yeah,
they
it's like.
will have like a big December like cliffhanger in the whole Crisis story, and then tune back in January for the last two episodes type
Final
thing.
2 hours,
Yeah.
yeah.
Just.
It's just it's interesting to see how they want to do this.
Yeah. Of course, and we're not
But of
gonna,
course.
and we're also not gonna get obviously the Swamp Thing tie-in to Crisis. Frankly,
Right.
one of my favorite Alan Moore things ever is the Crisis tie-in that he did for Swamp Thing, because he kind of made it about Cthulhu. I was like,
Right.
that's
He was just like, fuck it, I don't care.
yeah, exactly. It's like I'm gonna, it's, never mind just having a red sky. It's gonna, I'm gonna go all in on my ideas about what this is, and it was delightful and horrific.
But also Legends.
Yes, let
Just
me
like
remember.
Legends isn't airing in the fall, which means if it's going to be part of this, it's going to start up in the winter and probably just run all like 18 episodes straight. But that also means that the Crisis episode might be their first episode of the season.
Oh, that is weird.
And everyone's like, well, they skipped the last season because Legends doesn't quite play well with the rest of the Arrow stuff anymore.
Yeah.
So Phil Klemmer, who's the exec producer over on Legends, was talking to a site and has it's a fairly long quote, but it's worth reading all of this.
Let us hear it.
Okay. We've got a trick up our sleeve. There is a way. It's a very, very fine needle to thread. But I do feel like there's a way we can coexist with the greatest crossover ever. And again, we're not forsaking the Arrowverse. We love it. But I think once we establish this habit of reinventing ourselves every season, you've stepped onto the hamster wheel. Or not a hamster wheel. Wait, that sounds miserable. Onto a merry-go-round. And that thing is spinning so friggin' fast right now, we'll be thrown to our death if we try to step off. So the only alternative is to keep going faster and faster. I think we've made. I think we've shown that we're confident by the fact that things in our show that seem like the wildest conceits, musical or puppets, kind of remind the audience of the core strength of the show, which is the characters and their relationships. In a weird way, the more outlandish the show is, the more real the legends feel. But we'll find a new way to be weird next season.
Great.
So they have a plan, and it's apparently just to be weird.
It's going to be a weird plan, but I love it.
Yeah. Like, I like that they are just like, we don't, like, sure, we'll play nice, I guess, but also, have you seen our show?
I'll put it this way. I am intrigued and going to enjoy the Crisis crossover, but I preemptively love whatever Legends of Tomorrow decides to do with it.
Like, I kind of want, and I know that apparently, like, especially if they're gonna be like one of the last two parts, right? It can't happen. But I kind of want their entire, like, episode to just be, huh, the skies are red, and that's it.
That would be the funniest thing of all.
Yeah, they would get burned alive for it, but it
Yeah.
would be amazing.
Yes, it would. Oh man. Yeah, and of course I am so behind on Legends right now. I need to sit down and just binge a
Yeah,
few in a
this
row.
it has been a great, like, outside of that one weird blip when they came back that didn't quite totally match, it has been an it's just gotten better again.
Yes. Yeah, I've gotten a couple episodes past that. And yeah, I'm kind of I'm jazzed. I've just been busy with my media
Oh,
consumption. You
sure.
know how it goes.
But yeah, so no, next year it does look like they're like, well, we're gonna do Crisis, and also it's gonna take over everything. Not in a bad way, you know, but just this is gonna be the thing.
Yeah.
And again, like, we'll see how the show falls out, just because, like, you know, over in Flash, like, Flash is supposed to disappear for good.
Yeah. Like, what the heck?
You know, Batwoman's just starting, and we'll get roped into this.
Oh, yes.
I am a little worried. I don't think they will. I'm a little worried because Crisis traditionally, of course, collapses the multiverse into one Earth, right?
Right.
And I don't think they're going to do that entirely because, if nothing else, it removes the possibility of Wells.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I do think that we'll see a few of them merge.
So we
You
can
know,
have.
like, we might end up with Supergirl, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Supergirl, Flash, Batwoman,
Right.
they'll all be there hanging out.
Yeah. I mean, I also kind of vaguely expect them to kill off Superman.
Oh, wow.
I mean, because again, traditionally, like, you kill off Supergirl and Flash, right?
Right.
And we know they're not going to kill off Flash or Supergirl right now.
Nope, because, well.
Because of Ollie's whole deal.
Yes.
Like, they made that plot point specific. So now you need a shocking death? In a weird sense, like, not that you need, but you know what I mean. And it's like the only one available, really, would be Superman.
Well, my money's on Cisco's girlfriend, Camilla.
God.
I
That was a weird. I mean, you know, everyone knew that he was probably leaving the show.
don't.
Like, leaving Flash a season?
Valdez?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and, like, the way they wrote him out was a little strange, because he just says goodbye to, like, Caitlin, and then just, like, pieces out.
Oh, I didn't even realize
It's
that.
not confirmed,
Huh.
but everyone was just like, oh, he's leaving, and then they wouldn't confirm or deny anything, and then the way this ended really did feel like, oh, he's just peaced out.
Yeah, well, I was like, I watched that and I'm like, okay, so he's devibed himself.
Right.
But he didn't say, well, I'll be moving on to,
Right, and maybe he'll be in a couple episodes next season.
Yeah. Huh. Well, what do you
And that's
know?
why they didn't announce it yet.
Okay.
But he is on his way out at the very least.
Well, this kind of makes some sense. Just, I mean, I gleaned enough of his character arc this season to think, maybe he's tired of being vibe. Maybe he wants to be
Right.
extraordinary on his own. Just be an extraordinary person. Although.
Also, I do like that we got the best Ralph tease ever at the end.
Was it the file folder? The
Yeah,
Dearborn?
the Dearborn case.
Yeah.
Dearborn is the last name of Sue Dearborn, who then becomes Sue Dibney.
Okay. Yeah, I saw
Yeah.
that and I'm like, I know the name, I know the name Dearborn, but I can't remember who that's supposed to
Right,
be.
because it's not like they use it, you know. Yeah.
Okay, well that's cool. I'm glad they're I also have to say when the in the opening moments when Dibney gets hit by the mirror gun, and then you get that shot of him going, Sicara, Dawn, Dagger, it's like that was the most ridiculous fucking image I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was a little.
I'm like, Is he just now made of like foam rubber? And they cut away, but it was just like, it wasn't like this show sucks. I was like, wow, that is awful, and I'm so glad I got to see
Yeah,
it.
no, it was a special effect.
I And I thought, wow, then I thought, man, if this were Legends of Tomorrow, they would have a whole episode where everybody was like that. Just,
Oh God,
yeah,
yes.
just trying to, like that. That would be so good. But,
I would watch that.
me too. But, Flash cannot be Legends. Nothing else can.
No.
Oh, speaking of,
Although speaking,
yes, yeah,
I
speaking
wonder
of.
if you're going to the same place.
Yeah. Speaking of things that are kind of like that can be as weird as Legends, my mind leaped to Doom Patrol.
Oh yes.
Yeah, with their
Which had the
penultimate
like,
episode, penultimate patrol.
yes.
Yes.
I don't believe they spent that long on the whole wrong flex joke. Like that was weirdly like the quietest and raunchiest thing they have done on that show.
Yep. And you just, and I was like, just like, are they going anywhere with this? I mean, there is kind of a payoff in which you actually, Mr. Nobody offers, Cliff Steele, like his old life, and
Sure.
you see him having sex. It's like, oh, okay, so there's kind of a payoff there, but mostly it was just like a really bizarre joke, and I was happy they did it, but it was just like, oh, whoops, wrong flex. Here, let's do it this time. I'm like, oh,
Yeah, it was
okay.
just fine.
They
Just.
spent a, there was a lot of time and shooting spent on that one wrong flex joke.
Yeah. Like that's what confused was I mean, not that it was confusing so much as just like what who made that choice? It was like, you know what we need to do.
We need to have flex the wrong muscle and have everybody come on like on the street, including the street. Oh, yeah, let's do
Yeah. I just oh God, this show.
that.
I do like though at the end of the episode they pull the Doom Patrol triggers that always needs to be pulled.
What's that? The
The revelation that they were not accidents.
yes, yeah.
Like it is a standard Doom Patrol moment, if that makes sense. Like, you know, the chief is always kind of half villain.
Right. Yeah, no, I knew that was, I knew that had to happen somewhere along the
Right.
line. Like there had to be an answer for all the things that happened to people, and the answer was probably the chief himself.
Right.
So there you go. Yeah,
Yeah,
that
I
was
just
great.
wasn't expecting it right then.
Yeah, no, well, I sort of I was watching and there's the whole point where they seem to triumph over Mr. Nobody, and I looked at the time and I'm like, no, it's just another mind fuck he's pulling on them,
Yeah.
which was kind of terrible, because their triumph was sort of kind of abrupt and a little sort of little hokey, and I thought, but really satisfying. I was like,
Yeah.
yeah, and I'm like, oh, I can't, it's not true. It's not gonna happen. But hey.
But hey.
And I love the even though man, we thought the meta jokes had gone a long way in the last episode. This time we're going to the white space between comics panels.
And again, that's a very Morrison thing.
It very
So,
much, yeah. And I loved it.
like,
The
yeah.
one bit again where I didn't appreciate the meta stuff as much was when Mr. Nobody says, "I can control this whole streaming service."
Yeah,
I'm
that was a
like,
little pushy.
yeah, a little much, but I'm just like, I guess this is how they do on Doom Patrol, so all right.
Yeah, and again, like a minor blip in a series that is just always delightful is not gonna. I did actually really appreciate also when they're driving up and Cliff's like, why is there just a street in the middle of nowhere? And you suddenly find that like Larry never really told them about any of this.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
Yes.
I. Oh dear. No, you tell your friends about Danny. Like, why?
Half of these episodes like took place in people's minds. I mean, sometimes literally.
Right.
And yeah, you wonder like how much is information is being shared and how much all these characters are just kind of wandering around in the hell of their own experience. Yeah. I mean, so that's Yeah, when they found out that like that Cliff had or that Larry had not told people about it, I'm like that tracks. That tracks
Right.
perfectly.
No, it totally tracked. It was just funny in that, like, I somehow didn't realize, you know, you don't realize that, you're, because why would you? And it's just one of these, like, oh God, like you're just catching up on the fly on that.
And of course it gives Brendan Fraser a chance to go, the fuck? Which seems to be his go-to line for in this series.
Yep.
And I kind
He
of,
has a great read on it.
oh, I love it so much. The fuck? Yeah. I love seeing
I also
Regan
did
says it
like.
repeatedly too. It's even better.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do like that at the end when they're, you know, they're a team now, right? And they're all obviously not really having won, but they think they have. That like Rita has like made a version of her old 60s costume in the comics. And that Cliff's t-shirt is I'm okay, you're okay.
That was pretty good. Yep, that was yeah, when you see the big robot, you remember it from the opening when
Right.
yeah, that was yes. And I love the fact that setting up that opening scene with Mr. Nobody as like a as a kind of a nobody, it sets you up for the fake out. Like
Right.
the fake out victory, and it's like, oh, this is all just, and you realize in some warped meta way that Mr. Nobody has inserted that scene, like that it's part of the part of Mr. Nobody's plan is to fool the viewer as well,
You're right.
and it's yeah, that's it's
Yeah.
pretty. I mean, it's almost obnoxious, but you got to give props to Doom Patrol for doing it.
Yeah, no, the show is just it again, like I really do feel like if this was on like more accessible, not on like a new streaming service that, you know, a lot of people don't have, like this would be one of the biggest shows around.
Oh God, yes.
And it is a shame that like it won't be.
You know the weird
At least
thing?
for now.
It's I think it's more accessible in Canada than it is in
Oh,
the
great, because
States.
you guys have it on like Netflix,
Yeah, well,
right?
not Netflix. We have it on Crave, which is it's a streaming service that has like a lot of. It's got movies, but it's got like the HBO library, the Stars library,
Gotcha.
and so on. Everybody in Canada who doesn't have the HBO package is watching Game of Thrones live on Crave.
Okay.
So that's So it's kind
Yeah,
of
that seems like international. Like it'll come out, I think, on Netflix,
right.
in like England. So yeah, outside of the US, it'll get a lot of play.
Like we have Titans on Netflix. And Young Justice,
Right.
so it's really weird that the streaming rights in Canada are strange. Because I was disappointed because I thought to myself, well, we'll get Doom Patrol on Netflix after the season's over. And then I signed up for Crave, because I'd heard the interface had gotten better. It hadn't. It's actually worse.
Fair.
And there was Doom Patrol. I'm like, yay! So I could watch
Oh
it.
yeah,
I
no,
could
that's
watch
great.
it, you know, all legally, like, basically.
Yeah, no, like I said, like with, you know, between Titans and Doom Patrol and Young Justice, like I have been nothing but happy with my DC Universe subscription so far. And like I want to see Swamp Thing. I don't really care about Swamp Thing as a character, like I never really have.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I kind of want to see them do this full-on horror show.
Yeah, and I mean, I think James Wan was a great choice to sort of run this one. I thought, like his sort of sensibility was really in line with Swamp Thing. I just want to see how. I mean, it was always strange. I mean, even when Wenham Wrightson were doing it, there was sort of a real sort of like horror show, and then when Moore and Veitch got a hold of it, I mean, it just turned into like
Oh God,
a
yes.
cosmic mind fuck.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like the book, but I just never really became a fan of the character. I think the only run of Swamp Thing I ever loved was the one with his daughter.
Oh.
Was that Brian K. Vaughan? It was a short run. They finally collected into like two trades. And like again, like I know like six people who liked it. Like that's why it was canceled so quick.
Yeah, I
But
actually really like the was that the one they were sort of doing Animal Man and I know Jeff Lemire was doing or Lemire was doing.
Oh no, this was years
Oh, this
before
was
that.
years before. Okay.
This was like in the 90s. Hold on one second, let me look this up. Because I don't have it in front of me.
Right. So who did the
It's Teffy. It's Brian K. Vaughan wrote it.
Oh,
that it was really early Brian Vaughan stuff.
Yeah.
And it was it starred Teffy and. Yeah, actually, this is apparently this is considered the thing that launched his career.
Hmm.
It only ran 20 issues.
Okay.
But there are two trades of it, and it has a bunch of Constantine in it.
Oh, hey, that sounds good.
Because, you know, he's her biological father.
Okay. Hmm.
It that whole weirdness.
Right. Oh, okay. I remember this, but I never got into that run, but I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's worth digging up the collections if they're still in print.
Hmm.
If only because the reason it failed was because she was a completely unlikable main character.
Hmm.
On purpose.
Right.
And people did not want that.
People wanted someone likable. Fair enough.
Yeah. And it just, like I said, I remember that run when it was coming out and a whole bunch of people were just not happy with it.
Hmm.
But, like, I loved it because it let them, you know, Vaughn was very much into the, she's not a likable character, let's take her on a journey. Not necessarily to become likable, but just so that you understand her.
Right. Hmm.
So yeah, it was a great run.
Well,
but very short lived.
Yeah.
But I think that's the only Swamp Thing run I've ever really liked.
Hmm. Well, I will dig it up and I'll read it then.
Yeah, I mean it should be maybe still in print.
Hmm. Yeah, I was speaking of comics. As you know, I occasionally co-host a comic show on the radio, and Dustin suggested that we talk about The Boys, the Ennis
okay,
comic.
Yeah.
And I had not read The Boys in a long time, and I was like, oh, I said I remember it as being. I thought to myself, I remember it as being sort of like. Pitch black humor and sick and, you know, kind of unpleasant at times, but how bad can it be? Very bad.
Yeah, I remember, like, I read a few, like, oh, I read the book for a while when it was coming out, mm-hmm. just because I really like Ennis and, you know, yeah. I really like Robertson.
Right, that's right.
And I just fell off it because it just didn't hold me. It was just, yeah. Oh, by the way, apparently, like, at least on U.S. Netflix... Netflix, Amazon. There is a Swamp Thing by Brian K. Vaughan. It's two volumes. The second one is still around. The first one you'd have to get used.
Oh, okay, good to know.
So I think they're out of print and running out of stock, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So people should get on that really quick.
Yes.
But yeah, no, The Boys, like, I'm going to give the TV show a chance.
Oh, definitely.
I'm going to try it. But yeah, it was... I haven't gone back and looked at the book since it came out. I don't even have it because I never got trades of it.
Yeah, I just one thing I find odd, but when I've seen the trailers for the TV show, I just it's hard for me to picture the character of Huey as not being Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
so when I like to the extent that when I was watching the trailer, I was like, oh, this looks like a really faithful adaptation, but who's that American guy? And then I realized it was supposed to be Huey. I'm like, oh, that's weird. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
But you know, whatever.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it adapts.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Just because I think one of the things that gets me is, like, I love a lot of Ennis' stuff.
Me too.
But he also, for the most part, hates superheroes, as much as he also wrote one of the greatest Superman stories of all time in an issue of Hitman, no less.
Weird.
Like, it actually won an Eisner for best single issue. Like, and I love Hitman, but, like, it is that thing of, that was in that period where he was just angry at superheroes, I think.
Yeah.
And so it has this level of meanness that I can deal with, but then you add in the Ennis kind of giggling schoolboy shock value moments.
Yes.
And it starts to lose me.
Yeah, that is one thing I kind of wish, like, as much as I enjoy his humor and his stories and his characters, sometimes he just, yeah, exactly, it's pure schoolboy stuff, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, I guess I
and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, and I think just The Boys was so mired in it, at least to me.
Oh my god, yes.
That it just started to wear on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the show will be easier to handle, if only because I think they're going to tone back some of that.
Maybe. Probably they will.
Like, they'll leave the meanness.
I'm pretty sure they'll leave the meanness in there. Yes.
But for all they'll leave the meanness, they will, you know, I think, they'll still have shock value, but it'll just be a different quality of it.
Mm-hmm.
In that way that, like, TV shock value is different.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
We shall.
There was no episode of Abby's this week.
Nope.
And we still don't know if it's canceled.
No, well, we'll see. We shall
see.
But
we got a two-part Brooklyn Nine-Nine instead.
Ooh, another show I'm behind on.
Oh, God, the second part of that, like, the season finale specifically, like, it's a two-part episode,
mm-hmm.
and the first part is okay, it's fun, but the second part is one of these things, like, again, like, they went all out for just, Jesus, that episode was great.
Nice. Yeah, one thing I love about, I love binge-watching episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that makes me very, very happy when that happens, so... Yes, I will be. Well, I'm gonna get caught up, and then we can talk about that at greater length.
The other thing, actually, I want to mention is actually kind of amazing. So, Whiskey Cavalier, of course, was canceled.
Right.
And apparently, it was canceled because there was like one slot left on the, like, in the schedule.
Oh.
And it was a debate. That's why it took a while.
Okay.
And they were like, "Well, we really like the show, but it was dropping, so we tried something new." Fine. Shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think it's Universal, who owns the show, spent so much money on the show that they are desperately shopping it around, trying to actually get the show picked up somewhere else.
Oh, sweet.
Because they just, I mean, and obviously, like, I don't think they'd still be shooting in Prague every other week. But they were doing so much location shots for the show, which they never had to do.
Right.
But it really is just one of these sunk costs problem.
Yeah.
They spent so much money setting up the show that they just would like it to run another season or two somewhere to recoup. Sure.
Yeah, I completely understand. I have to say...
I'm all for that, just because...
Yeah, I mean, I have to say Universal's like, foolishness on that front is...
And I think you have disconnected, and we'll see.
Like, resulted in one of the
second.
Best...
There you are.
Yeah, here I am. I mean, resulted in one of the best-looking shows, like, from last season. I mean,
yeah.
Whiskey Cavalier just, I mean, you can tell. It's just like, it's clear, like, tons of location shots, tons of, like, you know, there's night stuff, there's, and it's clearly not, like, in a, like, a Hollywood backlot, so, yeah.
Right, but the thing is, like, even if it was,
yeah,
I'd still really, like, that's not what makes the show great.
Yeah.
I mean, it adds something just because it's pretty.
Right.
So, yeah, if they drop that and they're suddenly like, we're in Prague, in a warehouse. Like, fine.
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 Maybe they can merge Abby's and Whiskey Cavalier so that the bar that they have has
right.
like, Natalie Morales and Flynn there.
I like it.
Yeah. Me too. Dear networks.
Yeah, I cannot imagine at this point Abby's is going to be renewed.
Probably not. Oh, well.
Like, we seem to... I did see an article when both that and Whiskey Cavalier were kind of, like, on the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I caught one article, because I was, like, trying to see, like, is there any news anywhere on this? And I caught an article that was like, Whiskey Cavalier and Abby's are the two blandest new shows of the season. I was like, you shut up. Like, I kind of get the Abby's thing. As much as I like the show, I get it.
Yeah.
It's a throwback.
But calling Whiskey Cavalier bland is a really weird... take.
Yeah, I'm like, what did you watch? Because it wasn't that show.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, speaking of that show, I don't know, this is a weird segue. I caught the second episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. It's, you know, and I, you know, it's funny watching it. It's because it was one of these, like, ones where you come away and say, that was a solid episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And and it reminds you just how good the show is.
Yeah, there's a confidence to the show. Like, that really, I mean, as much as season 4 was good,
mm-hmm.
it was like season 5, they started having this confidence in what they were doing.
Yes, yeah.
And it has not dropped.
Not in the least.
They know their show, and the hell with you if you don't want this show, frankly. Like, and that's fine. Like, that's a good sign, right? Like, they're not nervous. They're not. Yeah, there's a confidence to it. There's, I mean, and they had a lot of fun with the now we're playing with portals.
Yeah, I gotta say that was and like from the last episode when I said, "Does this remind you of Fringe?" I'm like, "Ooh." Like this is even fringier.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're going somewhere. They know that they're going somewhere. They have a shortened season, so it's going to be even tighter.
Yeah.
And this episode just moved at a clip.
Oh, I know. I mean, it basically revolved around one sort of big sort of scene, and but it was
Right.
just great. Now, basically, what I want to know is why. Like, why is this group of people sort of going around? Looks like they're going around from world to world, destroying it and moving on to the next one.
Well,
Why?
see, I don't think so.
Oh.
Because A, they mentioned they have to get like new recruits, right?
Right.
And B, they mentioned that one of them hasn't, like, he has a breathing thing. He hasn't had his own homeworld atmosphere in 10 years.
Right.
So he was obviously recruited at some point. I think that something is destroying these worlds and they're escaping it.
Oh.
And going to new worlds trying to get up stuff so that they can be prepared.
Huh.
Like, and maybe this one won't, and maybe they have a way to try to stop it.
That's interesting.
But just the fact that like one of them like hasn't breathed his home air, I'm like, then why would he be with you guys, like
Yeah,
if
yeah.
you guys were the ones who destroyed it? So
Good.
maybe you're not doing that.
That's a good point.
So yeah, could be fun.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not another like one of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. causes the destruction. Like, can we not pull that trigger again? But
Hopefully not. And I'm enjoying the whole Fitz part of it all. That's
yeah, it's a little slower,
a little slower, but still, I
but that's okay.
feels like a good breather from
Yeah.
the sort of the from the Earthbound part. So, like, and it's an interesting decision to split the team up. Like, who knows for how long? Like, having like separate adventures, and I think that was a good idea. Like, so far, it's paying off really well.
Right. Well, I mean, it's also just, and the way they split the team up is one of these, if we had the people who are in space on Earth right now, this problem would be a lot simpler on Earth. Like, they remove certain characters and then built the stories around those characters being gone.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah, really smartly done.
Smartly done. Also, as we said last week, the decision, I think, to just ignore the Thanos and all that, also good. It seemed like they were suggesting it last season that they were going to address it, but then it looks like now they're just like, ah, fuck it.
Well, we talked about this last week, I think.
Yeah.
That yeah, because they didn't know, they had no real good choice.
Right.
I do wonder if what the people are running from is worlds where like universes where Thanos snapped.
Oh, maybe. That's a possibility. Because, I mean, it does look kind of
Right.
destructy. But not
But
the
then it also
same.
looked like there were buildings, so.
Yeah, well, we'll find out.
And we'll enjoy doing it.
Exactly. Also, I solved a mystery.
Okay.
The mystery of why the Dawson's Creek theme song is different on streaming.
Okay.
Because you were, I know you've been losing sleep.
I sure.
You and the rest of America, I know. No, I was just kind of curious because Elan has been watching Dawson's Creek, and one of the things that just really kind of eats away at the like my brainstem is they don't have Paula Cole's like I Don't Want to Wait theme song.
Could they just not get the rights?
No, they could. They just didn't want to pave the rights, so they got a
Fair.
Jan Arden song that was cheaper. So I was sorry, I just googled, Dawson's Creek new theme
Right.
song, and then one of the second or third link was an interview with Paula Cole just talking about how pissed off she is.
I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, and she it's funny because she's kind of pissed off two ways. One is that she was basically, I mean, the Dawson's Creek theme song was what propelled her and like what got her noticed. And she said that's kind of bittersweet because you want to be known for like your body of work, but really what's happened is that she's just known for this one tune and then where have all the cowboys gone? So she's kind of stuck there, and then they screwed her over by saying, nope, we don't want to, for DVD and streaming, it's like, we don't want to have to pay pay you out for this, so we're just going to get a cheaper song. Turns out it's by Canadian songstress Jan Arden.
Sure.
And it's a kind of a... But the thing is, like, the new song is, like, weirdly... It's the same sort of, like, weird, formless nonsense that nonetheless gets stuck in your head as the Paula Cole
Ooh.
Tune. So it's, like, a whole new sort of hell for your ears and your brain.
What's funny is that I actually ran to Paula Cole before her album hit.
Oh.
She went... Peter Gabriel's Secret World Live Tour, which is not only a great live album, but the DVD of it is one of these, if you like watching occasionally concerts on, you know,
okay.
video.
Occasionally I do.
It is actually one of the best ones to watch. It's a great concert.
I have. What...
But she was the second vocalist for that.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Because, you know, Peter Gabriel has a lot of female harmonies and duets, so
right.
she went on tour with him, and I saw her there, and she was just really impressive.
Huh.
And then she came out with this album, and I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah. I can't say it was my favorite album of all time, that Paula Cole album, but...
No,
yeah.
It's fine.
So I was really curious about, like, why they had... Because, you know, because it just feels wrong every time. It's like somebody...
Yeah.
It's like when you see somebody that you remember, but there's something different about them. And it's hard to sort of get over the difference. It was the same thing. This theme song keeps popping up, and I'm like, that's wrong. That's still wrong.
So here's my question, though.
Yes.
If Alana is visiting the creek, as it were...
Yeah.
When she's done... Are you going to try and make sure that she then watches Don't Trust the Bee?
Oh, she's seen that already.
I know, but it's how you follow up the creek.
I would, yes. I think we should, yeah, I think, especially
like
the Dawson's...
That's how you want to kind of finish that, right?
I know, like the, I mean, not just James Van Der Beek, but the whole Dawson's Creek reunion stuff and...
Right.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I've actually never seen an episode of Dawson's Creek.
That's fine.
It was just the wrong time. Like, I was the wrong age for it. But, you know, you know about it. Like, that's culturally, it just seeps in.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's sort of known as that sort of weird show. I mean, it was like, that was on, what was it then? The WB. I think it was like the big
Yeah,
WB
I mean, it was
flag.
That show where...
Yeah.
Where he cries, like
yeah, exactly. So many indelible things. And I'm pretty sure there's one episode I'm watching, and there's like there's all these actors that you kind of like half remember or still around, but like have aged 20 years or whatever. So it's a bit of a shock when you see them. I'm pretty sure Kyler Lee, for example, was like there as like a student, and yeah, then went to Grey's Anatomy, and then now of course to Shubagal.
Sure.
So it's weird seeing all these actors sort of leap around in time.
Yeah. I mean, that's always fun, isn't it, though? Like, watching a bunch of old shows where there were so many guest stars.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, don't get me started on The Equalizer again.
Right. There's always The Equalizer.
Don't do it, Aiden. Don't do it.
Oh. But, yeah. No, I enjoy that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, oh, yeah, you.
Mm-mm. But anyway.
Anyway.
So the...
we can...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can get going. There's a Highland Festival taking place two blocks away from my house.
All right.
So I went there yesterday, yeah. And I took pictures of the of a lot of the Scottish athletics. And
okay.
Are you familiar with Scottish athletics?
I am not.
It's sometimes you look at a sport and you wonder about the cultural conditions that produce that particular sport. Well, when you watch Scottish games, you don't wonder because all of their games are variations on just throwing shit. logs,
Okay.
hammers, kegs. It's like, can you? How far can you throw it? How high can you throw it? How many things can you throw? How high can you throw them within a certain like time limit? That's all the games are. They're just throwing things. I'm like,
fine.
And it's just, and it's usually, it's really beefy guys, largely. There's also a women's division, and in the strongman competition, there's also a woman in that competition as well. So they've opened it up a bit. But yeah, it's like, I guess they made games out of trying to clear some fields. Or just like getting drunk and throwing, angrily throwing the crap that they had littering their backyards. That's it.
Fine.
Yeah. And it's good. And Scottish athletes do not look like Olympic athletes. They look like guys who
No.
spend a lot of time at the bar.
That's fair.
And it's
they
great.
Can still be athletes.
Exactly. I mean, it's nice to see people displaying actually like really impressive feats of strength and precision, but people that you wouldn't look at twice on the street, but they're actually
Right.
really, really good at what they do, and it's
nice.
Yeah. And it's kind of fun to see.
Well, I will let you go and get back to that.
All right.
And we can come back next week and Game of Thrones will be over.
Thank God.
Yep. But for now, we'll play some music.
Music!
Dream wonderfully of that.
Yes.
Music!